So 6 years ago, nearly 6 years ago, as America was ratcheting up its tension about to invade Iraq, on a quiet Saturday morning, President Bush delivered this news.
This day has brought terrible news and great sadness to our country. At 9 o'clock this morning, Mission Control in Houston lost contact with our space shuttle Columbia. A short time later, debris was seen falling from the skies above Texas. The Columbia is lost. There are no survivors.
Well, the end of Columbia on February 1st, 2003 was the beginning of a story of trying to figure out what went wrong and certainly trying to figure out corrective actions to make sure it never happened again. In some sense, the possible conclusion of that story came yesterday in a 400-page report as NASA released its final investigation, or what it says may be its final investigation into what happened to the shuttle crew and the spaceship as it broke apart above planet Earth on February 1st, 2003. John Schwartz is science reporter for the New York Times. He's seen the report and was part of the listened to the conference call yesterday as NASA officials explained some of the contents of the report. It's kind of a somber moment and a very interesting report in the annals of the kinds of disclosure that NASA is not necessarily used to making here.
NASA doesn't like to talk about death. No one does. This was a very hard report to read, especially if you know some of the people involved. The detail is extremely rich and deep, and it's just tough.
And we should remind people the focus of this report was exactly what happened to the crew. They were in a crew compartment that broke up separately. There's been speculation and theorizing all since, in the 6 years since the accident, that maybe the crew suffered some horrific end because of the way the shuttle broke up. But NASA went to great pains yesterday to try to dispel that that was an issue.
Well, what NASA showed was that for a certain amount of time, for X number of seconds, the people inside the cabin knew that something was going wrong. In fact, the commander and pilot worked at trying to fix the hydraulics and respond to some of the alarm systems that were coming through, lights and buzzers, that sort of thing. But then there was decompression in the chamber, and they would have been rendered unconscious within seconds. Things got very, very bad after that, but they were not conscious to experience it.
And some of that had to do with defective seats, seat belts, helmets?
Well, what they found was that the seats didn't work the way they were supposed to. The reels, like in your front seat, if you hit a big stop, your take-up reel is going to stop, and you're not going to be flung forward. These take-up reels were gravity-fed like the one in your car, but the angles were coming crazily, and the reels just didn't work at every angle that they were supposed to. And the suits, you know, the helmets that were supposed to protect your head didn't secure the head and protect the neck, and so people's heads were battered. I mean, things that shouldn't happen happened. And the fact that they happened to a crew that could not have been saved with better equipment, you know, at that point it was too late, doesn't mean you can't fix these things in case in a future spaceship you have a similar situation that is survivable.
The interesting thing about the helmets and the seat belts is how little concern for safety went into the design of those, particularly the helmet. It was really mostly about delivering oxygen to a crew member. It wasn't necessarily about head protection. Why do you think that omission?
Well, people started wearing these pressure suits after Challenger because they realized at NASA that if there is if the cabin is flung clear, if you've got a little extra survivability, you want to be able to get the oxygen. So you're always fighting the last war.
And in this particular case, as the report says, there was no way to survive this accident. I'm wondering what the question of safety is. I mean, there was no helmet that was going to allow this crew to survive in some sense. How important is this safety issue in future missions?
Well, let's put it this way. You've got the last couple of Soyuz entries from the International Space Station. You had this incredible rockin' and rollin' entry called ballistic entry, not the most recent, but a few recently. And the G-forces were very, very heavy, and the spinning was pretty pronounced. If you've got something like that happening again, you want a suit that's not going to cause you more damage. If the capsule's going to save you, you don't want the suit to kill you.
And the supposition here, and it came out of the report yesterday, is that more of these high-G reentries and high-G events are going to be happening as the shuttle program is retired and we shift to a new kind of vehicle, right?
Well, the idea of the great thing about the Soyuz capsule is that if it comes in the wrong orientation, it rights itself, and you might have a rough entry, but the wings aren't going to fall off. There aren't any wings to fall off.
Right.
The shuttle is an unforgiving vehicle. A capsule shape is more forgiving, but then you got to be able to survive going down in that capsule.
Out of those 400 pages, is there a bottom line that NASA can now take forward as they plan new missions?
Well, if anything, the 400-page report stands as a monument to the sort of openness that Columbia brought to the program. So it's not any one thing. There are 30 recommendations for improving safety down the road, but it's the notion that you ought to make something out of your failures. You ought to learn from it.
Well, the irony here, though, is that the shuttle program is supposedly being retired. Is there anything about this report that makes a case for continuing the shuttle as the Obama administration takes over? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the shuttle is a risky vehicle. There are people who think it is unreasonably risky. One of the reasons that it's being retired in 2010 is that the next generation vehicle is going to be a lot safer. Having said that, there are people who believe that the residual risk of flying the shuttle is worth taking to keep the program going until the next generation spaceship is ready.
And they're retiring you there at the Science Times. So this is your last byline for the Science
Sort
Times.
Sort of.
Right?
Well, exactly. I'm moving on. I'm going to be the national legal correspondent for the paper.
There's a shift. Well, John Schwartz, thanks so much for joining us to talk about the 400-page NASA report. Thanks.
Absolutely.
So
and John, I am sorry that your bid for the Senate with Blagojevich didn't work out. But you shouldn't have sent him. You shouldn't have sent him a card. Appreciation is not enough.
Sitting by the phone all day yesterday afternoon. Thank you, John Schwartz, science reporter for the
New York
Times.
Nice one, John. Nice one. We're always on here at The Takeaway. If you missed anything, take our podcast to go. Subscribe now at thetakeaway.org or on iTunes. And here is your takeaway.
They may be able to demolish buildings with airstrikes, take out rocket launchers, but whether they can destroy Hamas as a political movement by bombing Gaza is another question entirely.
That's the BBC's Mike Sargent, and he was reporting to us from Jerusalem.
Well, 2008 ends tonight at midnight. Are you going to have a hangover for any reason the next morning on New Year's Day? It seems like the entire world has a hangover from 2008. Give us a 2008 hangover cure. How do you cure your own hangover if it's just your own personal one? And name this year. I mean, this year definitely needs a name. It's one for the books. Tell us your tips at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.